Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of James for our scripture reading here this morning. And I am going to go to James chapter 3, and I am going to read verses 13 through 18 here this morning. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And again, I will have those words up here on the screen. I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, James chapter 3, verse 13, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning, starting with verse number 13. These are the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's the end of chapter 3. We will stop there. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Father, as we look into these verses here from James, what is it that your Holy Spirit wants us to learn about these words here today? So, Father, I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditation from my heart can be pleasing, holy and pleasing to you, and we can all learn something about wisdom here this morning, Lord. To you be the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Today we continue in this expository study of the book of James. And the expository study is we go through this book verse by verse. This is week number 19. And I have titled today's message, The Wisdom from Above. They're the exact words that James uses in chapter 3, verse number 17. And this is the second time in this book of James that James speaks about wisdom. He spoke about wisdom back in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And it's obvious that James knew that having a proper view of wisdom will be one of the proofs of the Christian walk. I preached on wisdom and verses on chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, back on January 23rd of this year. In that message, I gave two different definitions of wisdom. The first definition I gave was this, from Webster's Dictionary. It says this, what is wisdom? Knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. Knowledge of what is proper and reasonable. Again, this is a secular definition. And hopefully we can make choices today based on past experiences that we have had. But I also gave this definition, and we use this one as what I call the more correct definition of wisdom as used by James. And this is actually from Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 version of the Webster's Dictionary, almost 200 years old. Wisdom, the right use or exercise of knowledge. I used this definition, and if you remember, I added one little adjective to this to help us define it a little bit better. I said wisdom, the right use or exercise of biblical knowledge. That would be the way that James wants us to refer to the wisdom that he is talking about. In that study, back in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we made these four points about biblical wisdom from the scripture text. The problem is we lack wisdom. And James said the solution is that we ask God. Number three, the result is we will receive. But there is a manner in which we need to do that. And he says this, we must ask in faith and we do it without doubting and we will receive. And the conclusion was this from James chapter 1 verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, and okay, it's okay to admit, maybe we do, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God will give wisdom to that person generously if we ask with the right motives, in faith and without doubting. Now, personally for me, just a little personal testimony, it's not that I pray for wisdom like as a blanket prayer for all times like Solomon did when God asked him, what would you want? And Solomon said, I need some wisdom if I'm going to run this country. Maybe I don't do the blanket statement thing like he did, but I pray for wisdom on an as-needed basis. And trust me, I have a lot of as-needed basises in my life. As a matter of fact, I'm entering into a very important situation right now where I'm asking for wisdom from the Lord. What should I do and what direction should I go and what should I say or not say in that situation? And every time I have done this, ask for the Lord for wisdom, it's always worked. He's always given me the wisdom that I need in that particular situation. And I might even ask something as simple as this. Lord, I need wisdom. What should I say? What should I do? And the result sometimes is this. He asked me, Mike, say nothing. Just keep silent. And that will be okay. Sometimes a stilled tongue can certainly be a demonstration of godly wisdom. And now we have James coming back again to this topic of wisdom here in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And in today's text, he defines wisdom the Christian must have, but he does a segregation here. He segregates the wisdom that we should have versus the type of wisdom, the earthly wisdom, that we should not have. And he categorizes them. So he kind of puts sides there. He says this, there is wisdom that is earthly, natural, and demonic, versus the type of wisdom we should have, wisdom that is from above. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. And it's not that all secular wisdom is going to be earthly or natural or demonic. It's not, and we know that. Secular wisdom, experience has taught us many good things. It might have taught us who we should associate with, and maybe some people we shouldn't associate with. Wisdom has taught us that. Or even on a simpler example, secular wisdom has taught us what restaurants are better than others. We prefer the food here and the service here versus at this other restaurant here. That's wisdom. That is secular wisdom, and we have learned through those things, and those things are good things. But James helps us out by defining some attributes of wisdom that are ungodly with attributes that are from wisdom from above that are godly. So first, let's talk about the negative things first. Let's go to those verses. James 3, 14 and 16, he says this. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. I want to put this back up here. Let's list those first. What is the wisdom that is earthly, natural, and demonic? He lists those. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, arrogant, lies against the truth, which brings about disorder and every kind of evil. Well, every evil thing, that kind of sums up everything, doesn't it? But we're going to talk about each one of these individually here in a second. But we must admit that we can gain a lot of knowledge by our everyday experiences. But Let's ask this question to all of us here this morning. Can these everyday experiences that we experience out there in the world lead us in some way, shape, or form to ungodly practices? And that's where we're going to go first here this morning. And I can't help thinking and connecting the dots here this morning that what he's talking about here in James chapter 3, he starts off in verse number 1 by talking about teachers. Teachers need to have the right motives. Teachers need to have the right qualifications. And they need to teach the right doctrine. Teachers will be judged more strictly than others. That's verse 1. Then in verses 2 through 12, he talks about taming the tongue. So let's kind of connect this wisdom with teaching and taming the tongue. We'll kind of take that all in context here this morning. We must remember this. Even though we might be Christians, even though we might be saved by the blood of Jesus, the Christian still retains the human condition. And the human condition likes being jealous. The human condition likes selfish ambition. The human condition loves being arrogant. The human condition does like to lie. The human condition, there's something about disorder that the human condition likes. And the human condition certainly likes every evil thing. So we still have the human condition. So we know we're still going to battle these things even though we have given our lives to Jesus Christ. So let me give you a quick example of each one of these. And I'll try to keep this simple. Worldly experience has taught me that sometimes it is wise in an ungodly sense to be jealous when appropriate. Because I want what that person has. And I'm jealous over that. And I want that something that that person has. And now experience has taught me what to do and what to say to get it. And that's where this is going to start. It starts with a jealous heart. Then it moves on. Worldly experience has taught me that sometimes it is wise, but in an ungodly sense, to have selfish ambition because I want what that person has and I want to get ahead. I want that position of power. And maybe it's a teaching position or a preaching position of power. And now experience has taught me what to do and what to say to get that thing that I want. Number 3, worldly experience has taught me that it is wise, but maybe in an ungodly sense, to be arrogant. Yes, to be arrogant. Because when I am arrogant, and I express that in my words, for some reason people listen, and people do what I want them to do. I get my way. And now experience has taught me what to do and what to say to be arrogant to get what I want. And that's what it's all about. Number 4, worldly experience has taught me that sometimes it is wise, again, in an ungodly sense, to tell lies to achieve my goals. I'll never get that teaching position if the people knew the truth. So I'll just tell whatever lies I need to tell about myself so I can get that position. And experience has taught me that when I tell lies, I can move on a little further in life. Worldly experience has taught me that if I can do those 4 ungodly things, to be jealous, to have selfish ambition, to be arrogant, to tell lies, that I can certainly bring disorder into that situation. Because with disorder in that situation, now I can disguise myself of my true evil motives. And now experience has taught me what to do and what to say to get what I want. So we can see from these simple examples that worldly experience, even though it can be good, it can also prepare us for doing ungodly things to achieve ungodly goals. So let's put the negative behind. Now he also talks about the positive. Let's look at how he defines the positive. He says this, but, great transition word, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So let's take those attributes and let's list those. So the wisdom from above, according to James, says this: it is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is reasonable, it is full of mercy, it bears good fruits, it is unwavering, and it is without hypocrisy. So let's do a quick definition on each one of these. And for each one of these, I'm going to use another scripture verse to define this particular attribute, because we all know that scripture interprets what? Scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. First, pure. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, one of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:8. Jesus says this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm sure James had that in mind. The next one, peaceable. Again, one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The third word he used, gentle. Again, another Beatitude. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the next one is reasonable. And when he talks about being reasonable, the interpretation of that word is more along the lines of being obedient to the word of God. So reasonable. And Jesus says this in John 14:15. If you love me, and Christians will love God and love Jesus, you will keep my commandments. That will be the reasonable thing and act that you do. The next one, number five, full of mercy. Again, another beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It almost makes you think that maybe James was there at the Sermon on the Mount when his older brother was given this message. Number six, good fruits. From the words of Jesus, from the vine and the branches, John 15. Jesus says this: I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we can certainly see from this that one of the attributes of a saved Christian is they are going to bear fruit, and it will be good fruit. Number seven. Unwavering. We're going to go to the end of the Sermon on the Mount for this, Matthew 7. Jesus tells a little story, and this is the end of the story. He says, a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Folks, we have a choice. If we remember that story that Jesus told, you either build your house on the rock or you build it on the what? The sand. Very good. Two men. One built a house on the sand. One built a house on the rock. The winds came. The rains came. The floods came. The winds blew and they slammed against the house. One fell with a great fall. The one built on the sand. Jesus says, build your house on the rock because, I'll use that word, because it is unwavering when we do. And the last one, without hypocrisy. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 for this. And it says this, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, and that would be now, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Again, this has a lot to do with false teachers, to do with false teaching. People are falling away from the faith because they are paying more attention to deceitful spirits, paying more attention to doctrines of demons, and it's all because of the hypocrisy of liars. And we all know what hypocrisy is. That's when we say one thing and do something else. Back on January the 9th of this year, in week number 2 of the study of the book of James, I said that this would be the theme throughout the book of James. James is really saying this. It's very practical. He's saying this. So if you say you're a Christian, that's a simple question. Prove it. And James is saying this. We're going to prove it with our words. We're going to prove it with our actions. We're going to be proving it with the wisdom that we have. Throughout these last 19 weeks, again, this would be the theme of, do our actions prove our Christianity? So here's just a kind of a recap of what we've talked about over the last 19 weeks. How do we handle trials? We talked about that. How do we handle anger? That was a good one. The next one, how do we handle religion? We talked about that. Next, do we as Christians show favoritism? The next thing, chapter 2, we moved on. How sincere is our faith? Faith without works is what? Dead. How sure, or are you sure, that you want to be a teacher of the Word of God? Because teachers of the Word of God will incur a stricter judgment. There are the proper qualifications, and they have to have the right motives. And you certainly need to teach sound doctrine. And he ends with James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. Can you tame this thing right here? Can you tame the tongue? And we talked about probably in first century Rome, that's probably all they had was the spoken word. We have many different forms of communication today through the internet and those other things. Are we able to tame ourselves when we are typing before we hit that post or send button on our computers? James begins this section in verse number 13 by saying this. Who among you is wise and understanding? They would be good attributes to have. Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So I'm just going to throw it out there to all of us, certainly including me. Are our actions and our words a reflection of godly wisdom? The wisdom that James says comes from above, not the wisdom that comes from below. Last week, we talked about an evil agenda that wants to permeate the church. Well, let's put that shoe on the other foot. The Christian, people like you and I, we have an agenda too. We call it the Great Commission. We are to go on out and make disciples of all nations. We are to share the gospel. And there is a right way that we need to go about doing that. And that is how he ends it here in James chapter 3, verse number 18. He says, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. How do we preach the gospel? We do it in a peaceful way. We do it in peace, and we do it in a peaceful way. Yes, we are to be passionate about our Christianity, and we should be passionate about our Christianity. But there are ways that we do not demonstrate that passion. We don't go storming the steps of the Capitol building showing our passion for our faith. We don't go burning down stores showing the passion we have for our faith. We don't go rioting and looting to show the passion that we have for our faith. And we don't go protesting in front of Supreme Court judges' houses, defending and proclaiming the excitement that we have for our faith. We sow it in peace. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do because sometimes us Christians, we do want to lash out at those who just don't get it. But James is telling us, no, 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 can't go there. We do it in a peaceful way. We do it in a peaceful way. And Proverbs 17, verse 27 tells us this. He who restrains his words and his actions has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit, I'm glad he used that word. That's kind of a 21st century word. A cool spirit is a man of understanding. This is the way that we speak. This is the way that we act. In a cool spirit, with understanding, with wisdom that comes from above. Proverbs kind of sounds exactly like what James is telling us in James chapter 3. Or maybe James spent a little time, more time than what we thought, listening to his older brother give those sermons and those speeches that he had. Whichever it might have been, he tells us that we need to have the wisdom from above, certainly not the wisdom from below. Let's go to God in a time of prayer.